This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We've got to do this, Wes. We do this every Monday of every show we've done. We do a best of and the worst of the weekend. Yep. And we just gave you a bunch of record holders and crazy stuff that happened, which was a good thing. We will continue that vibe in this segment because there was a bunch of cool stuff that happened for ACC teams and individuals over the weekend.
Yeah, let's start with men's soccer, where Louisville, and they're going to be a theme throughout the best of the weekend. Yeah. Louisville upsets number 3 Clemson 2-1 in the regular season finale, Pack.
Yeah, there's 800 different polls. The Tigers could be anywhere from 1 to whatever, but the bottom line is it's 2-1 Louisville. Final. See ya. Ball game. Catch you later. There it is. And Louisville had a lot of cool things happen to him, like you said, this weekend, in addition to winning a really important baseball series, which we'll get to later in the program. But this was a big, big weekend for Louisville.
Yeah. Weekend series, we told you one of the bigger ones, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, right, in baseball. Link Jarrett and the Irish rallied from 7 down to beat Georgia Tech 10-9 on Friday.
Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, this was one of 3 ranked versus ranked weekend matchups. And the Irish with the cool unis, when they go all white with the gold dome, I like that look. They won 2 of 3 in the series. Georgia Tech won, I believe, yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. But the Irish are a pleasant surprise in ACC baseball nationwide. Forget about the league. Yeah. Nationally, Notre Dame has been a really, really cool baseball story this year.
Yep, sure has. Along those lines, baseball sweeps this weekend by NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pittsburgh, Pack.
Pitt, another great story.
NC State.
Another great story. They swept Miami. Again, we keep talking about these ranked versus ranked series. Pitt Panthers, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. I mean, you don't think of those guys as baseball schools, but all three of them are having sensational seasons. And for NC State, they've been kind of up and down, right? And Virginia Tech went into old Wake Forest and said, hey, we know you're the Swiss, but we're going to hit 10 home runs. That's what they did. Hokies went yard 10 times over the weekend against the Deacs. 10.
Yeah.
It's a bunch.
Crazy. By the way, the old ACC baseball championship coming there to Uptown Charlotte might be worth an investment for you and maybe Mrs. P. Take the F-150 up there and take a game in or two.
The stadium is fantastic. I know North Carolina, South Carolina just played here last week with the Tar Heels beating the Gamecocks, who were ranked. The Gamecocks were ranked. A great win for North Carolina. But the setting is sensational, and the baseball will be too. Really, I believe that might be worth a – that might be worth a venture to Uptown Charlotte. Yeah. Check that out.
Somehow or another, on the best of the weekend, this made it to the final edition of the script that our producer, one of the Lumberjacks, Drew Brooks, selected Will Zalatoris in the Masters draft. And this is the best of the weekend?
Oh, I believe it or not, I added that because I thought that Brooks' call was Zalatoris was great because, I mean...
It was excellent.
And the reason for it, we talked about in the first 15 minutes of the show, his first appearance at the Masters. I mean, there are not many guys show up the first go-around and can even get to the weekend, much less be a factor. And this dude went low every day. Yeah. Just like, hey, man, this is a piece of cake. I love playing here. I look like I've been playing here my whole life. Mm-hmm. So he took that 28-inch waist and said, hey, no big deal. Let's go make some birdies. And, again, Zalatoris was a great story at Augusta, but I'm going to give my man Drew Brooks some credit on that because Drew keeps up with golf. He loves it, and he studies it. But the Zalatoris coming up big not only helped Team Brooks over the weekend end up in a tie, which I'm not sure how we're going to break that, but nevertheless, Zalatoris is now a story. A week ago, a lot of folks have never heard of him. Right now, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the dude from Wake that went low to Masters. Yep, huge. I can't wait to see what he does for the rest of his career. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Let's go to the NC State spring game. Dave Doran calls these crowd pleasers. I call it Thayer Thomas negotiating to sling the rock in the spring game. You can see this here. And as Roddy Jones pointed out, he went through his progressions, before he cut it loose to the birthday boy, Devin Carter. It's a heck of a play by Thayer Thomas.
It was a great play, and he threw it when only his guy could catch it, and, man, that was a great catch too. I mean, everything about that. I mean, Dave Dorn liked to say, hey, let's just keep that one in our back pocket, and hopefully that's the way it's executed every single time we make that call in the fall of 21. But those two dudes can play. And like you said, NC State's got good quality depth. The question will be, I'll say it again, can they knock down the door and get the double digits? That's the key.
When Roddy joins us next week to kind of recap some of these spring games, he'll talk about, hey, he was proud of Thayer Thomas going through his progressions here. Like, unbelievable. Good throw. Great catch. Touchdown, Wolfpack. There you go. Red team off and running.
Red over white. All right. Let me emphasize. Red over white, NC State.
I saw the quarterbacks were in black jerseys, though. Quarterbacks wore black jerseys.
You know, guess what? You know, they won't be wearing black jerseys this fall. You can get hit in the fall.
Oh, yes, they will.
Well, you're not reading what I'm saying. You know, when they wear the blacks.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yes, I know. Right.
NC State, come on. Red, white.
All right.
Red, white.
Notre Dame beat number one Duke in men's lacrosse, 13-8. We told you it was a big win for Kevin Corrigan. It was a really big win for the Irish this weekend.
Incredible.
13-8, packed the final.
Took down number one, and we've been bragging about Duke, right? Great quality depth. This league's stupid good. And for the Irish, I tell you, they almost pulled the double this weekend because they had number one North Carolina in all kinds of trouble with the women's lacrosse in the rain. But a great, great win for Notre Dame. Tremendous. Because Duke is loaded.
All right. Yes, they are. It's a heck of a win for the Irish. Congratulations to Coach Corrigan. Okay. Now let's get into – we're gonna kind of do the dirt and the details here. Louisville has won two cheerleading national championships over the weekend. The first win occurred when Louisville's advanced small co-ed cheer squad won the national championship.
As predicted last week on the show, right? Wes, we've been doing 361 shows on television. This is number 361.
Yeah.
I do not believe
it is
in 361 shows we have ever discussed cheer squad, cheerleading, dance teams, or anything involving pom-poms. I don't believe we've ever talked about it. I don't think we've ever shown any highlights. So this is a first. Yeah. This is a since dirt right here for Packer and Durham.
And it is. It is. And the only experience I've got with any of this is that I watched that Netflix documentary, Cheer. It's about all I got for you. Vicky
hashtag,
and I watched that one night.
Hashtag not going to be able to make that one, Wes. I'm going to pull an old radio bit from you. For me, that would be hashtag not going to be able to make that one. However,
We did watch it.
However, yeah, I will tell you, this is a bit of advice from me to all of our viewers and listeners. If you do have Netflix, I highly suggest.
Here we go.
What? What's the matter?
Go ahead.
It's a bank robbery. It's a robbery. Check out It's a Robbery. It's a true documentation of the biggest art heist happened in Boston, Massachusetts 31 years ago. It is incredible.
There you go.
Four episodes. There it's only go. Four episodes. You
All
can
right.
handle it. That's from me to you.
All right. You'll so Louisville won, just to recap. Louisville won the advanced small co-ed cheer squad national title.
Advanced.
They also
the
won
word.
The women's. Well, they did. Advanced.
Advanced.
They also won the women's cheer squad national title.
Look at these ladies.
So there you go.
Big trophy.
Yeah.
That's what you get right there.
And apparently when you win that, you get to run into the water. That's also part of that Netflix doc.
Hey, listen. The second the big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team, ladies. Remember that. The big boy out there with the fin doesn't care.
Looks like to me.
The big boy with the fin does not care that you're the number one ranked team and you got the belt. The boy with the fin does not care about any
there
of that.
There we go.
All right. But congratulations to the ladies.
All right. Okay. News over the weekend. Right here at ACC Network, we have added to our roster. Big announcement. Over the weekend, Jordan and Shea Cornett welcomed Joey Jackson cornet to the world. Our congratulations to Jordan and his wife, Shay.
Very cool.
There is Joey Jackson, who, despite being 18 days early, was 8 pounds and 10 ounces. And I'm going to offer you this. Jordan is 6'7", 6'8", right? Shay's about... He's 6'10"? Jordan is 6'10"? There we go. Shay is about 6 feet tall. She went to Indiana. Jordan went to Notre Dame. And I'm just going to lay it on the line right now. Joey Jackson Cornette has probably got his 5 official visits already set less than a week old, back. I'm just going to lay it on the line.
I'm going to one-up that. I'm going to tell you, beginning right now, with that JJ in the world now, screaming, not sleeping during the night, I'm going to predict that Mr. Cornette will be available for any appearance on Packer and Durham for the next 8 months.
Yeah, he will.
Because he's going to get zero sleep. He'll have sleep deprivation. He will have mastered how to do the diaper. And when he gets the call, hey, could you come on, Pack? It won't even get to that. Yes, I'm available. Let's go. Anything gets him free time. But congratulations to Team Cornette. Awesome news. Great news. Everybody's healthy.
It is. And thrilled for Jordan and Shay. They'll be fantastic. I tactical error in best of the weekend. And my apologies to Clemson. Because I was so excited to tell you about Joey Jackson Cornette.
Pom-poms.
That I missed the fact that Clemson won the 2021 All Girls Virtual Cheerleading title.
There you go. Look at all those smiles, man. Ladies can do it. What can I tell you, Wes?
Yeah.
Virtual.
Congratulations to the Tigers.
Yep. Now I'm
going to have a little more clarity on that at some point. Listen, I didn't either, and I'm going to have to have a little. Well, it's virtual. It's virtual. That's why you didn't see it.
You got to have one. You got to have a trophy. Got to have a trophy.
Why don't you give them the one Penley gave you?
No,
last week?
This one. This one right here is not leaving the desk. Right. Unless you decide to come back to the basement. Or we have somebody stop by unexpectedly. Yeah. This one right here is the South Carolina Intercollegiate Golf Championship, Clemson 1986, along with the Larry Penley National Championship 10-year anniversary blazer and the Deacon top hat. Not to mention, there's our Emmy. Right
there. Hey, don't tear up your Emmy that
right
Billy won. That Billy
Packer
won.
And Durham. Packer and Durham. Emmy right there. So we roll. It.
Okay. Last and best of the weekend. You knew it was coming up. You just might not have been sure exactly when. Trevor Lawrence got married this weekend. Trevor marries his longtime girlfriend, high school sweetheart, Marissa Mowry. Dabo Sweeney will be here with a full report coming up at 9:30 on the wedding.
Nice.
Yeah. Man, Next stop, Jacksonville.
What a month. What a month for Trevor Lawrence, though. Seriously. Yeah. Gets married. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. Road trip by some property down there in Jacksonville, Duval County. Move on to his career. Good for him. Good for them.
That's it.
That was about as feel-good weekend as you can get. We had a birth of a child. We had the ladies winning all kinds of championships and cheerleading, a marriage ceremony, some Masters coverage, baseball, lacrosse.
There you go.
People are like, man, ain't nothing going on. What y'all going to talk about? Man, there's so much going on. You're crazy. You just got to open your eyes a little bit, man. Stuff happening.
Yeah. Drew Brooks and I are waiting to make sure Trevor gets the membership at Pablo Creek so we can go down there and tee it up
guys.
With him.
He don't want to, he doesn't have time for y'all. He's trying to figure out how in the world can he get Urban Meyer and the boys in Jacksonville back to respectability. He's not worried about you guys and your tee times. You guys need to park your ego a little bit. He's not worried about your golf games. He's not. I can assure you.
We will go from one end to the other, best and worst, in our next segment. Quick reminder to you, we got non-conference ACC baseball tomorrow night right here on ACC Network. The Plainsmen come to the Rusty Sea to visit. Number 15, Georgia Tech and Auburn. Coverage starts at 6 Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. When we come back, the not-so-good side of the weekend. Oh, boy. We got postponements in this. We got strange postseason awards that make no sense. And we got Andre Adelson getting dumped with Gatorade. Next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. 844-SAY-ACCN. Dan Brooks, the incredible golf coach for the women's program at Duke University, will join us at the bottom of the hour. But, Wes, before we get to that, we just gave you the best of the weekend. Unfortunately, we have to do this. It's the worst of the weekend.
Yeah. NC State scored 20 on Boston College on Friday. BC giving up 20 runs in the Friday night game to the Wolfpack.
Don't like your chances when you give up the 2.
Oh, Pack. Yeah,
when you give up the 20 spot, that's probably a problem. I know that Virginia Tech put a 16 spot on the Deacs over the weekend, but a 20 spot by the Wolfpack, again, that would be the best for the Wolfpack, but this is the worst part of it. It's about BC in this go-around, unfortunately. And BC's been playing really good baseball. NC State's been weird, haven't they? They've been really hot, really cold. Kind of hard to figure Elliott's guys yet, but I'll tell you what. Yeah. They were hitting the baseball this weekend. Sweep and a 20 spot.
Tough start to tough start to the what ended up being a tough weekend for Boston College.
Sure was.
My Masters picks made this his worst of the weekend.
Should have.
Curious.
What do you mean curious? They were terrible picks. You picked the number one player in the world and the number 11 guy in the world.
I picked the number one player in the world.
And 11.
And I picked another guy in the top 10. They both missed the cut. How's that a bad pick?
Oh, because they hit it like I do. That's why. I mean, how in the world can you pick two dudes ranked 1 and 11 and not make the cut with either guy? Look at Dustin. Man, I shot 20 under here a couple months ago. I can't even hit it sideways now. What's going on? Koepka's got one good knee. He just had knee surgery March 16th.
That might have been a we kind of wish Brooks wouldn't have taken off the pink quarter zip the other day. If when he had the pink quarter zip on, he was playing pretty good with the pink hat.
Yeah, that's great.
So
great.
Yeah. All right.
Get your stuff out of the locker.
Clemson.
Get your stuff out of the locker and get on out down Magnolia Lane. Go down the lane, take a left, you get your private jet and go home. That's what they told him Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
I want
Clemson, Notre
those,
Dame,
wait,
softballs.
Wait.
Yes.
Do you think those two guys
yes, sir.
Have missed the cut together in a major? Because I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure maybe it has. I don't know.
I don't know that.
The answer to that.
I don't know that.
We'll let Brooks, who's our golf expert, look that one up.
Yeah. Who picked Will Zalatoris, by the way.
That's a great pick.
That was a great pick.
Got him
all right, softball. Clemson, Notre Dame softball postponed due to COVID over the weekend.
Yeah. Notre Dame had some COVID issues. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know what, though, Wes?
The conference. Yes, sir.
Take a look at the standings in softball. No surprise that Florida State's red hot. They've won 11 in a row. They're 15-2 in the league. Clemson's 18-4, Virginia Tech 16-6. Those three really have kind of separated themselves. Duke got off to a quick start, but those three in particular are off to brilliant starts. Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech.
There you go. Let's go to fencing, shall we?
We shall.
The Atlantic Coast Conference announced on Friday, easy for me to say, their 2021 fencing awards. And congratulations to all those that were honored. I mean, there's no doubt. But there were no representatives from Notre Dame, despite the Irish winning the men's and women's NCAA championship. Now, Pack?
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
Wes, the only thing I can deduct from this is that apparently if you were a participant for Notre Dame and or a coach, you were not allowed to be voted on. It is physically impossible that you can have the national champions in both the men's and the women's side, and not a single individual is recognized for any award. I don't even know how that's physically possible. I don't know how that's physically possible.
I don't know. Unless there's been some dramatic change in the lacrosse landscape that I'm not aware of. I don't know. Fencing, not lacrosse. There's been some dramatic change in the fencing landscape, but I even went back, just so you know, I went to the ACC's website to make sure that Notre Dame was still in the league in fencing, because you know how it is. Sometimes schools move, right?
No, they're in ACC.
You know how it is? I mean, like certain sports. Like, no, but I mean, in certain sports, you know how it is, right? I mean, sometimes hockey is the good example. That's right, hockey. And sure enough, they're still in the league for fencing.
I believe there had to be some small print before you vote. Remember, you're not allowed to vote for anyone from Notre Dame. That's the only, it doesn't even make any sense that that could, again, physically happen. You could have a national championship team on both the men's and the women's side, but yet not a single individual received an All-ACC award. I don't know how that's done. That's totally impossible.
I don't know how that's done.
That's a since dirt, I can assure
you. So there you go. Yeah. Crazy. All right, baseball. Rubber match of a really good series this weekend between Florida State and Louisville. And FSU gave up 8 unanswered runs to the Cards on Sunday. And Louisville wins the series 2-1, 8-5, the final yesterday at Jim Patterson.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be a good series.
Good ball games, by the way.
Yes, that's exactly right. 17 against number 7 nationally. They split the first two, and it came down to yesterday, and Louisville takes care of business. A good weekend, like I said, for the Cards. A lot of good things happened to Louisville over the weekend. But again, I trust both those programs. Florida State, by the way, big game early this week. Tuesday they play the Gators. University of Florida. That'd be a big one. Always is.
There you go. Let's go to social media for the next worst of the weekend. Chris Mack has got a shiner.
Yikes.
What in the world?
Well, you know, the six-year-old.
Six-year-old Braden with the headbutt?
Yeah.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what the story is with that one. But, Chris looks like he looks like a villain from some Bond movie, doesn't he? Can I see that picture again? Seriously, like the next Bond movie, if Chris Mack was the villain, you'd say, "Yeah, man, Mack looks like he could be the villain there." That's a good look right there. Yikes!
Apparently, Braden Mack is the villain.
Yeah, all right, Braden's. Yeah, keep an eye on Braden now. Braden got some game.
Yeah.
Braden said he wants some more Skittles. You better give him some Skittles. Braden, take it out on you.
Yeah. And whatever color he wants.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andrea Adelson joined us last week. She was going to be a guest coach in the Florida State Garnet and Gold game. Well, guess what? To the victor goes the Gatorade bath. How about that?
Powerade.
She and Andy Staples.
Powerade.
Oh, Powerade. Sorry. Yeah. Powerade.
Wrong school.
Look at Andrea's surprised. What's the problem?
What is Andrea doing wearing the visor? Did we not talk to her about the visor? You can't wear a Steve Spurrier visor on that hallowed ground at Doak Campbell. She deserved that, whether she won or lost. I'll just tell you. You can't come in there with a visor game. No. We said that to her last week. Wear a baseball cap. Yeah, Do not wear the visor and slam it down the ground.
Visor. Yeah.
You can't go Spurrier in Tallahassee. You can't do it. Simply cannot do it.
That's right.
That was a W.
Katie George going to join us later in the week.
Coveted invite.
Katie, we're getting we're getting the color palette worked out for you.
Oh, no.
Roll the
coveted
video.
Invite is on the worst of the weekend. How's that physically possible?
Roll the video.
Oh, no.
How's it feel to be in black and maroon?
Feels good. It's garnet and gold, but I feel what you're saying. No, it's
you already know.
Yeah, it's a blessing to put on these this logo.
Oh no, black and maroon. That's like wearing the visor. I mean, Katie should have been dumped with some Powerade on that one. She can handle it though. She's a pro.
We'll take a break.
Katie, George.
Coveted invite later in the week.
By the way, last time, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson missed the cut in a major, 2012 U.S. Open.
Yeah.
At the Olympic Club. Won by Webb Simpson, Wake Forest. There you go. Now you know the rest of the story. Bar bet there right there.
One of the outstanding golf coaches in America, bar none, is next with us on Packer and Durham. Dan Brooks is legendary, and now in his 37th year in Durham, he added to his tally this past week. We look forward to talking to Coach Brooks when Packer and Durham continues. Halfway home on the Monday show on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We continue to stream live on ESPN, the app. 371 is where you can find us on SiriusXM and, of course, assorted radio stations throughout the ACC footprint. It's now part of it. And on top of that, ACC Network.
Yeah.
Again, eventually, somebody's going to come on and put a sponsorship right on top of our foreheads with us, Wes, the way we're rolling. Rolling.
Liam Entman from Notre Dame, their lacrosse goalie, coming up here in a few minutes. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Dabo Swinney, and we will talk more about Florida State's spring game in addition to some other details regarding NC State as well. But let's go to Duke, and we go to Durham on Monday morning. And tell you what, Pac, one of the most successful coaches in ACC history is here. Dan Brooks, now in season number 37 in Durham, with their outstanding women's golf team and the 139th victory over last week in the Cavalier Match Play. Coach, great to see you. Congratulations and welcome to what is, I guess, as normal a spring schedule as we could have hoped for, right?
Hi, guys. Yeah, it's been pretty normal, actually. We're lucky we get to play a sport where we're a long ways away from people, and so it's worked well.
So what is it about this team, Dan, with all the great players and teams that you've had? What about this team that you think maybe separates it from some others?
I'd say we're pretty united. They all seem to be really tight and very on board. But we've had great teams that way. So I would say it's probably the depth of our team. You know, we have six people on the team, but I would pick any one of them to play in the lineup. So it's a tough, deep team.
You know, Coach, it's interesting. In a singular sport like golf, I'm always fascinated by folks like yourself and other coaches who I've talked to who can turn it into a team game, who everybody understands, you know, it's a collaborative thing at the end, but it's an individual sport. Is there a process there that you're comfortable sharing about how you do that at Duke? Because that's certainly an element to success for anybody, I think, who's very good at this.
Yeah, an example I use to try to make the point about unity, even though it's an individual sport, is imagine shooting free throws with everybody sitting on the bench with their arms folded, kind of scowling, looking like they don't really believe in you, as opposed to looking over there at a team that's, you know, clapping their hands and saying, "You've got this." I mean, that brings it home right there. It's extremely important in golf to know that your team cares about you as a person and they believe in you. That makes putts fall. So you got to do anything and everything you can to bring that around. Most of it grows organically. Most of it is just the nature of the people you have on your team, and you just sort of kind of bump it along. There's little things you can do, but for the most part, You have to recruit the kind of people that are that care about, you know, that can see a little bit past the tip of their nose, and they tend to care about teams. It's great to bring people in that have been on teams, whether it's a golf team or a basketball team. Important stuff that way. But we talk about it constantly, about how important the team aspect is.
Dan, you mentioned you got at least six that you look down and say, listen, they can all play, let's go. I can only imagine when it comes to qualifying and that routine, even the preparation of an ACC tournament, which begins this week, it only helps you when you know that everybody understands that, you know what, I can't have a bad week. You know what, a bad week means somebody's got my spot. And you hear coaches talking about that all the time, whether it's football, basketball, whatever. Hey, golf is no different, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you've got that kind of competition, man, you know what? You almost just say, hey, listen, let's get out of the way and let them go get it, figure out who's the best.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. You know, if many, if not most of these players want to go on and be professionals and give it a shot. And they're always qualifying, no matter if you're in a tournament or on Monday or whatever, you're always qualifying for something. So it's the reality of the beast in college and in the professional ranks. So, it's just the way it is.
Coach, when you win something like a match play event last week and you know that the ACC and the NCAAs are ahead, and there is that match play element now that we're putting into postseason, how important is an event like last week for not just that day, but now what you're getting ready to go through in the next month and change?
It's very important. And to be honest, I wasn't that concerned about it, or I wasn't that worried about whether we played in a lot of match play stuff, but I'm really more convinced that we need to really blend it throughout our season. It's just, they're just different animals. You're supposed to essentially, like Bobby Jones said, just play the golf course, play old man par, but you really have a different animal, and I think you got to be there. They play match play in the summer, but I think the more we can do it during the season, the better.
Coach, we know how great your team is. How do you handicap the rest of the league when we get into the ACC championships this week?
Oh, I think we've got a really tough conference now. And I haven't always been able to say that, but Virginia Tech, that's who we played up in the Cavalier for the final, and it came right down to the wire. So it's exciting to have. We've got Wake and Virginia Tech, and Florida State's really good. We're going to have a heck of a battle there.
Yeah, that's the integral part. You've won 7 national championships. Can you see those type teams formulating before they happen, or is it one of those deals that, hey, look, if we're playing well late, then we're going to give ourselves a chance? Or do you see the pillars of it as a year unfolds?
Yeah, you see little indicators that it could be possible. Having depth is very important. Toughness is really important, and I've got a tough team. You know, it's just mentally tough. The NCAA championship is a grind. You're especially with match play in there now, and we've had weather delays, it seems like, every year. Now we're going to be in Arizona, so it may not happen that much out there, but you can see little indicators that it's possible, and I see that this year. We have that kind of team.
By the way, word on the street is you had an encounter with my brother, Brant. How did that go?
You see a guy, you think he's sort of okay. I didn't know him that well at that time. And I needed to get out to my team. It was at the NCAA championship. And he says, I'll give you a ride. He drives me out into the woods. It took me a good 15 minutes to find my team. I'd been walking around. All the other teams are wondering why Coach Brooks is walking around on some other part of the golf course, because they all knew where my team was. Anyway, yeah, it was a terrible ride. Terrible ride in a cart.
You know, it just goes to emphasize, Coach, one of my goals before I call it quits is I want to drive the golf cart at the ACC Cross Country Championships And I can assure you, my golf cart skills far surpass my brother's. And my brother, he didn't know he was on the front nine or the back. He may be a great, great producer for Golf Channel, all that stuff. Yeah. But he doesn't know the front nine from the back nine, apparently, dropping you off in the middle of the woods like that. That's uncalled for.
All I know, he's got to have great support staff because this guy has no idea where anything is.
I love it.
I will follow up with him and chastise him for his golf cart skills. Yeah. There's no way you do that to a seven-time winner. No way. Yeah, when you've won seven.
No way.
You know, if it's some guy that's like,
take him to the team.
Right. If it's some guy that's, you know, have just helped my girls make the cut, hey, you drop him off in the woods, he'll figure it out. But not a dude that's won seven of them now. You've won seven of those bad boys. It's different. Yeah. Totally different. No respect.
I felt the same way, you know. I really did.
Hey, Coach, last thing from me. We just saw 2 weeks ago the Augusta Women's amateur, and I can't think of a better event to showcase emerging amateur golf on the ladies' side in this country. And we've seen, you know, tremendous players, you know, in the first 2 years, and some ACC players obviously be in the mix. Do you sense that women's amateur golf and women's professional golf benefits from a standalone event like that as much as we talk about, you know, the prestige of something like that?
Absolutely. I mean, how could it not? It's great. Everybody knows how hard that golf course is, so you can see great shots. I mean, I watched Erica Shepherd hit a 3-wood onto 15 and hold the green, and the greens were absolutely as fast as they were at the tournament at the Masters. Amazingly fast. So. Yeah, it was a showcase. It is a showcase. The two times I've been down for it, this time I got to walk on the greens and actually experience how fast the greens were during the practice round. And what could be better for women's golf? It's great.
No doubt about that. By the way, just out of curiosity's sake, have you ever had a conversation with Coach K about winning national championships? And if so, what was that like?
We actually have not.
We haven't.
Now, just kind of two ships passing in the night, I guess.
Well, you know,
like to have that conversation.
You know, when he gets to seven, maybe you can invite him in. Just say, hey, listen, when you get to seven, just call me, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I have ultimate respect for what he's done.
He's been great, but you know what?
No
he doesn't
doubt.
Have seven, Dan. Yep. He doesn't have seven. That's all
there
I'm saying.
Go.
Doesn't have seven.
Coach, we'll leave that up to Pack. We'll leave that up to Pack to ring Coach K's bell on the 7-5 game, okay? We'll do that. We'll leave that up to Packer to handle that. Brant handles the driving. Mark handles the national championship discussion.
Hey, what could possibly
go wrong, right?
Hey, Dan, let me just tell you.
You're in good hands with the Packers, right?
I can handle the golf cart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dan, let me just explain something to you, though, real quick. My partner, one time on radio, I said, you know what? We ought to do our radio show from Coach K's office. He thought I was nuts. He said, you are out of your mind. I said, I think I can pull it off. Yep. He goes, you have no chance to do that. Wes, what did we end up doing?
Yep. We did the show from Coach K's office, Dan.
That's right. So don't think I can't put together people. That's what we do. We put people together.
You can do it. You can do it.
That's right. Coach, we wish you the best, man. Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Nice talking with you guys. Take care.
You bet. Thanks. We appreciate it as always. Don't forget, we will be following in the ACC Women's Golf Championship at Sedgefield, which is Pac Sed, comes up this week. The men's event behind that out at the Crabapple course in Atlanta, Capital City Club Crabapple, the following week. Don't forget, we've got ACC softball for you as well right here on ACCN coming up this week. Liberty and Virginia Tech, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. The number 13 Hokies welcome the Flames into Blacksburg. And we'll have it for you right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back to South Bend, Liam Entman, the Notre Dame lacrosse goalie, off the upset of number 1 Duke. We will talk to Liam, get his thoughts on kind of where things are right now as lacrosse starts to look toward their postseason slate as well next month. We'll do that next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. All right, we just went from Dan Brooks, seven-time national champion. What's the matter with you, Wes? What's wrong with you this morning?
You guys are like Packers driving people around. You're dumping people out in the middle of the
Packers,
woods.
Packer.
What's going
Brandt
on?
Brandt Packer did. I would take him, coach, right to whatever hole he wanted to. Quick. Right on the money.
Is that what would have happened? Okay. All right.
I can handle a golf club, my man. I got that with my eyes closed. Yeah. Brandt, my brother, I don't know what he's doing. Brandt can't. You can't.
What's happening there?
You can't put a seven-time national champ and dump him in the woods and go find your team. That's a terrible.
It's kind of the way I think about it. Yeah, it's the way I'm thinking about it.
That's embarrassing. So. I apologize on behalf of the Packer household.
Billy's been known to hang around golf courses too. You guys causing problems on golf courses.
I don't cause any problems on golf courses. None.
Because you're not ever at a golf course.
That's what I'm saying. For 24 years, you haven't even found me on one. So what problems could I be causing?
Zero. All right.
Let's talk a little lacrosse.
There we go.
Let's go to South
Well
Bend.
Done. Yep. Liam Entenmann is the goalie for Notre Dame. Liam, good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham. Great to have you with us. Congratulations on a huge win against Duke. That must have been a ton of fun.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, it was a very big win for the team, number one team in the country coming in, and we really took care of business. I'm really proud of every guy on the team, just doing their job, ranging from, the faceoff guys, to the midfielders, to the attackmen. Really just everyone came together and did their part to help the team get a huge victory.
Well, obviously it's a great team win, but when you take on a team as talented and as deep and as athletic and explosive as Duke, you knew walking into that bad boy that guess what? There will be bullets flying, right? You just knew what was coming. But, man, what an incredible effort by you, like you said, by you and the team. But it starts at goalie, man. If you stop them, you got a chance. And you did an amazing job holding them to eight.
I can't take really any or all the credit at all. I thought our defense, the three guys in front of me, the three defensemen, as well as our long stick middies and our short stick middies as well, had a really good day. I thought Jack Hilty, who I believe is the best defenseman in the country, did a great job holding Michael Sowers, one of the best attackmen in the country, to only 1 point throughout the day. And I thought Arden Cohen, Kyle Thornton, really all of them did a really good job. So I really can't take any of the credit.
Well, I don't know. They're the ones. They may be a line of the defense, but you're the guy standing there taking the 85-mile-an-hour bullet and trying to put it in the net. Liam, did anybody say anything about Coach Corrigan and what 311 would mean to him in terms of a record for most wins at a school?
So we actually, after Syracuse, he had tied the record, and he talked about it a little bit, just how cool it was for him, but he really didn't talk about it going into this week, going into this big game for us. I don't think he wanted it to be a distraction for us in any way, which really goes to show how humble he is of a coach. But after the game was over, I saw Jack Hilty with like a little trophy, and I didn't really know what it was for. I thought it was for some new ACC rivalry or something like that, and then I kind of realized what was going on with Coach getting the big win. So it was really exciting, and a coach is a guy that I think everyone on this team has been watching their whole lives on TV, whether it be the championship runs they had in the last few years. And then recently, after I committed, I almost watched every single game. So it was really special to be on the field for that moment to share with him.
Liam, at what point in time do you decide, hey, you know what? I think I could play lacrosse. And on top of that, I want to be the goalie. I mean, how does someone get into that position? How young do you have to be to understand this makes sense? I want to be that guy.
So I come from a lacrosse family. My dad played, my uncle played. I think I have five cousins that played. So I started playing when I was really young. I'd say I started around 3 years old or so.
Wow.
And I'd say 2 years in, I started playing goalie. I'd say I was five. And it's a typical story. Nobody showed up. Nobody wanted to step in the cage. So I always wanted to. And, I've been a big hockey fan my whole life. And one of my favorite athletes was Henrik Lundqvist. So
yeah.
I'm sure that had a little something to do with it. But, ever since then, I've kind of stuck with it. And, there's a lot of bumps and bruises that come with it. But it's something that I really enjoy and something that I I'm very thankful to do, and also something I'm very thankful to do at this level.
Is it tougher mentally or physically to be the goalie in lacrosse?
I'd say mentally. I definitely have found that the mental game is especially important at this level. You know, we're playing a very competitive schedule, and I'm not always going to have, you know, great stat lines. You know, sometimes it's just 50% is what gets you by and helps the team win. So I think the importance of having kind of the next shot mentality, playing these really good teams, whether it be Virginia, Syracuse, Duke, and now, you know, down the road, UNC, is very important to have.
But Liam, let's be honest, you got to have a little bit of, you know, to play goalie in lacrosse, to take a ball at 85 miles an hour off a stick, you got to be a little different though, right? I mean, it's a completely exclusive position on the field.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I've heard from a lot of different people that, you know, goalies are kind of a bit of a different breed, different cats. And I definitely think I fit that mold sometimes. I'm just, you know, being me, and I look over and some of the guys are, you know, laughing at me doing for whatever I'm doing. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting position. You know, it's, not a lot of padding, and, you know, compared to, you know, a hockey goalie, and, you know, the ball is, you know, just as hard. So definitely kind of takes a bit of a mental edge to you. But, you know, again, I love it, and I'm really happy that I'm able to be here and play in this position.
By the way, we had Michael Adler on the show last week, and of course he got bitten by a shark when he was 13, and his buddies just dropped him off, and he decided, hey, I'll go back and surf with you guys later on. You got to be a little out of kilter, I think, to be a goalie, in my opinion. But I've never played. What do I know? But I want to know this.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there in the cage, who in the league, and you could even include maybe somebody on your team in the practice, who in the league, when they let it rip, do you go, oh, yeah, 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 here it comes. This is a bullet coming my way. Who is the one person in the league? And you can include a Notre Dame guy if you want.
I'd say this one's a pretty easy one for me. I remember in the fall, I was taking a lot of shots, you know, just to get myself ready for the season and the preseason in this past fall. And, you know, I'm used to the guys in my grade shooting on me, and that's, you know, that's nothing new for me. And even the guys that are older than me, you know, I saw their shot last year. But I remember Eric Dobson winding up for the first time, and I was like, that's not a normal shot. And I had Brian Costabile shoot on me a lot last year. You know, he was one of the best shooters in the ACC, or probably in the country, and now in the professional level. So I was used to the speed. But when he left, I was like, all right, maybe I have, you know, a year off of not seeing a shot that fast in practice. Wow. And I was, you know, definitely wrong about that. I mean, Eric can really send it from very far.
Got it. All right, one last thing
all right,
for me.
But Liam.
Go ahead, Wes.
Wait, hang on real quick. Eric Dobson is listed at 6'4", 220. So the bigger the guy slinging it, the more intense it can be, I'm guessing?
I think that's got something to do with it. You know, I mean, Eric's a big guy. Brian Costabile is a big guy. So I'm sure it's got something to do with it. But it's really, a lot of it I've found is about, you know, how they shoot the ball mechanics-wise. And, you know, we have a few guys on our team that are, you know, not 6'4", 220 that can still really, you know, sling it. So I think it's, you know, maybe there's a bit of a correlation, but it's really about just how much you hone your craft and, you know, your technique and placement.
Mm. All right. My final question for you is our traditional question. That is, for every student athlete, since you've been at Notre Dame, what has been your hardest class?
Hardest class? I'd say microeconomics. That's got to be my hardest one. Yeah, that was definitely a tough one for me. I took it in the spring of my freshman year, so it was kind of affected a bit by you know, us getting sent home with COVID.
Yeah.
So I'd say that was my hardest one. But now, and I'm happy that it's over. But I'm taking macroeconomics this spring, so it's, you know, pretty similar to that.
Yeah, you know, I thought macro was easier than micro. I did.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Totally. Yeah. Well, listen, congratulations on the number one beat down. There's more coming, though, as you know. You can't worry about what you did yesterday. It's next up in this league, because this league is loaded, and you guys are part of it. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
You bet. Liam Entenmann is the goalie for Notre Dame's lacrosse team that beat number one Duke over the weekend. Our thanks to him for his time. When we come back, the Power Hour is next. And we're also going to toggle around the ACC as well. Top plays of the weekend, Pack. And we got play. Oh, hey, little diving catch. Uh-oh. Oh, we're going behind the head.
Look,
here we go. We got diving catches. We got some wide receiver U coming up, too. You never know. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.